Timmy Sheridan, Sam Backhouse with you.
Sam, you look like you're playing for a test jumper out there tonight.
Yeah, that's a big step, isn't it? Yeah.
Toughest match you've ever played in?
Toughest match I've ever played.
What were those forward hits like earlier? It looked like...
Big. They played good, they played strong, the boys.
What about the last 10 minutes, Sam? Was it that defence that won the match?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, the boys f***ing tied it right up.
Thanks very much, Sam.
Sam Backhouse, the big man, he scored the try.
Sam Backo, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ginger. It's great to be here this morning.
Now, there is a reason that we've got you on the program today.
Happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. You do turn 50 today, so happy birthday.
Thank you, Ginger. Yeah, I've made the half century. It's got a bit rough along the road there. I don't know if I was ever going to make it, but it's good to be here.
Well, tell me, do you feel 50?
Actually, lately I have been. I've got a bit of a crook hip at the moment, but I still think I'm in reasonably good nick.
You said that it got a bit of rough along the road. What did you mean?
Oh, you know, as a young bloke, you know, you play it up and party, and, you know, I thought, you know, playing football...
Few aches and pains there then.
A few aches and pains, yeah.
Well, let's look back for a second. When you were a kid in Ingham, did you think that you'd be a rugby league star one day?
Well, I was always a keen, you know, fan of rugby league, I'd say, but I never sort of aspired to Sydney to play at the level I did, mainly because of where we came from, you know. It's I think back in those days, you know, there was no clear path to Sydney football. You know, you'd have to be either spotted by somebody or somebody knew somebody who knew somebody else to get to Sydney.
And I suppose in those days, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but it was long enough ago, Ingham seemed a very long way from Sydney.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Sydney was like the other end of the earth. Back in them days, it was ABC, covered the rugby league, and, you know, it was always a keen fan, you know, Saturday afternoon and Sundays we used to get it on TV, and I suppose I had my hero. Arthur Beaton was one of them.
And why did he in particular stand out for you?
I suppose because he was a black fella and, you know, he played in the forwards, and I always played in the forwards, you know, so I guess that was probably one of the, you know, and probably the fact that he was a Murray, you know, from Queensland.
I know one of my mates was talking to me about you, and he said when Slam and Sam was around, no one ever bothered to pass the ball wide. They'd just pass it to you and you'd slam right through.
Yeah, well, actually, Peter Jackson, my late friend, he was the one who gave me the nickname Slammin'. So, yeah,
do people still call you that?
Oh, occasionally, you know, only, you know, the football fans.
Yeah. You ended up shining in all these different Australian clubs, the Raiders in Canberra and the Broncos, and you represented Australia. What did you think of that life while it was all happening?
Well, you know, it seems like a whole lifetime ago now, Ginger. You know, when it was all happening, it was, well, I couldn't believe it at the time, I suppose. You know, it was all going on, and, you know, getting chosen for Queensland initially and running out in the Lang Park. You know, all the hairs stood up on the back of my neck. It was, you know, it was a pretty great feeling. I'm actually pretty thankful that I had the ability to play rugby league, because it took me a lot of places. I've met a lot of people. I've always thought of it as a role model for my mob. You know, you've got a role to play in the community as well as in your sport. Rugby league, you know, particularly for Indigenous people, it's our game. We weren't born with the old school tie and went to the private schools, and it's basically a position of responsibility these days, you know, not only as a sportsman but as a member of the community.
I know these days you do a lot of work with the former Origin greats. What do you do there?
Well, to me, the most important role that we're playing at the moment is in conjunction with or in partnership with DUA, which is the Department of Employment, Education and Workplace Relations, we run the Indigenous Employment Expos at major regional areas and also the metropolitan areas, Brisbane, as you run up the coast, go Rockhampton, Mackay, Townsville, Cairns, Mount Isa, and I think next year we're actually running one out at Toowoomba. All the Indigenous kids come from the schools in the area to have a look at employment and education and training opportunities.
And I've been told that this is something very, very dear to your heart, educating young Indigenous people. Why?
Well, it is, Ginger, because I suppose back in the day, my mum, you know, she only had a grade 7 education, and she had to leave school to go and look after her brothers and sisters. And when we were growing up, she always stressed the importance of good education. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to go right through and complete my senior, the last 2 years of that being at a boarding school in Charters Towns, which she paid for off her own back.
So she had a big influence on you, it sounds like.
Yeah, she did, Mum. You know, like in the early days, obviously campaigning, you know, in the movement. I always call it the movement, you know, the...
For reconciliation, you mean?
Well, this we go back a lot further than that. Like, I go back to the days of the 1967 referendum, you know, delivering how-to-vote cards into people's...
How old were you, Sam?
I was 6 years old.
And you were delivering how-to-vote cards?
Absolutely.
Well, you obviously did something right, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I can remember getting chased down, you know, blokes letting their dogs go on you and getting traced up the road by dogs and around Townsville, South Townsville, because that's where we were.
Your mother's very unwell today, and I know you've got a huge role in caring for her. It must be hard to see such a great woman in a state like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mum's in the... She's been diagnosed with dementia, and she's in the early... When I say early stages, you know, she's probably four or five years into it, where her short-term memory losses deteriorate fairly badly. So, yeah, for a smart lady and a... you know, to see this happen, it's a fairly debilitating disease.
Is it heartbreaking watching someone who you looked up to so much and had such an impact on your life deteriorating in that way?
Yeah, it is. You know, we have our days, you know, like I have the same conversation probably 50 times. I say that 50 times, you know, probably not that many times, but, you know, it's, you know, we just, I've just got to, we just roll with the punches, me and Mum. You know, I'm the cook, the cleaner, the nurse, do the yardman. So she says, she always says one thing. She says, "Who does our yards here?" I said, "Mum, who else? Me."
You're listening to ABC Local Radio. We're having a chat with Sam Bacco. He is a former rugby league great and he's had an amazing life. Sam, I want to talk about this moment that a lot of people have mentioned to me. You are widely credited as one of the first people to drop the F-bomb on free-to-air television. How did that happen?
Yeah, well, that was one thing that I do remember. I've come off the field, state of origin, and... can't quite remember who the...
I think it was Tim Sheridan is what I've read.
Tim Sheridan, that's right, it was too. Well, Tim's basically stuck the microphone into my face and I'm still watching the game and he's interviewing me. And,
so you weren't really paying attention?
No, I wasn't paying attention at all. And because I've been pulled off a few minutes because I think we were down a player at that time and... Yeah, you know, it's getting the later stages of the game and I've got the early mark. I'm getting interviewed and I'm still concentrating on the game and it just sort of just flowed out. And then I thought, oh.
I think from the quote I read, I think he said Tim Sheridan from Channel 9 said something like, "How tough was it out there?" And you said, "Effing hard."
Yeah, exactly.
And what happened when it came out of your mouth? What did you think?
I've gone, oh. F again, you know, like when I put my hand over my mouth.
So you said it twice, actually.
Yeah, and because I was still sucking the curtains off the wall, if you know what I mean. So I wasn't concentrating at all on this, and I didn't realise it was live as well. Like, and I suppose everything was live back in those days. They don't That's where technology was.
And what happened afterwards? Did it cause an outrage?
Well, it didn't really, but every time I got interviewed after that, they'd say to me, Sam, we're on live. We're live to air.
Did you ever do it again?
Never. No.
And I read it as well that you were very apologetic afterwards. You must have been embarrassed.
Yeah, I was, you know, like you don't. Because it wasn't a done thing in them days, but like now it's every second word on television, isn't it?
Well, certainly on our sister station, Triple J, I have heard the F word quite a few times.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, and thank you very much for speaking with us today.
No problems. Ginger, happy new year to you and your family, and I hope it's a prosperous one as well.